12, and again, we'll read the theme verses here to you in Hebrews 11, verse 1, if you want to follow along, but we'll continue on our study on the Passover and the redemption of the firstborn and that, and how that's going to go on into the Lord's Supper, the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper. But here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report, and by faith Moses, when he was young, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, because he had recompense to that reward. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And so we've been looking at this, and like I mentioned Sunday evening, we're going to kind of put this in fast forward. We're going to take this study and going to be looking at it on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. We're going to go from here and move on into the redemption of the firstborn here in Exodus. We'll take a look at some things about that over in Numbers and such as that. Then we're going to go over the New Testament and see how it was at the time of the Passover that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, and then look forward here soon for the church to take the Lord's Supper. So be in prayer about that, and I want to preach to you and give you what I believe about the Lord's Supper and how it's to be observed and such as that. And if you have questions or comments or anything like that, I'll be interested in hearing that. So just pray that the Lord will help us and bless us together in it. Now, we finished up last time here in Exodus chapter 12. We took a look here through verses 40, 41, and 42. And we want to spend a little bit of time on this. Try not to spend a lot of time, but may end up doing it. But we just want to take a look at something here, and I'm going to give you this to chew on, and it's going to be maybe you've seen it, maybe you've studied it, maybe you know about it. But what it boils down to is that, understand, God's promises span beyond mine and your lifetime. We got to get a handle on that. We need to understand that, realize that, have hope in it, believe in it, get over doubting about it. Lord makes a promise, He keeps it. He keeps that promise, guaranteed, because He's made the promise. And His dealing with Abraham and the great promise that He gave him, and in so, the Scripture, I think, will bear out that promise, in the Lord giving that promise to Abraham, He gave it to all His children, because it's through Israel that the Redeemer, the atonement, the Lamb of God was provided. It was through Him and through His nation here. And we've seen how the Lord has delivered His nation here and how He ruined another nation to do so. In verse number 40, let's take a look at this here, and we'll just take a look at it and throw it out there for you and let you chew on it a bit. Exodus 12, verse 40. Now the sojourning, hang on to that, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt. Okay, I'm going to take a look at that. And what happens to us as we take a look at Scripture, we need to take a look at exactly what it says. Okay, we need to take a look at what it says. Sometimes, I've given you examples of myself, hear a thing preached, hear a thing taught, and grabbed a hold of it without necessarily checking it out myself, and turns out it's not right. Or I go into a thing with a supposing about what the answer is, what the Scripture says, what the passage says, and then from that make a conclusion that's in error. And so being humans, we have that, we can do that. Sometimes we're taught things and I don't, it just happens with us, and we don't realize that it's happened. And so as we go into the Scripture, we need to be careful about what it says so we don't miss the truth of it. Okay? It's there. The Lord has given His Word. And there are things that the world stumbles over when they take, and, you know, there are men not saved that have taken the Bible and they read through the Bible and they make judgments and criticisms and condemnation and things, casting doubt on the Scripture, because first, if they're not saved, they cannot discern it because it's spiritually discerned. And then they find things in there that they'll pass out as contradictions. And we've posed some of those to you in the past. Where it would be said that it was a contradiction. And so they scrutinize it that the Scripture might be fulfilled, that seeing they won't see and hearing they won't hear. Because has not the Lord said that? He said, I'll put my word just flat, straight out, smack dab in front of them, and they will not get it. And John the Baptist, he said, as John the Baptist said it, he says, no man can receive anything except to be given to him from the Father. Now, I didn't say that. God says it in his word and put it on John the Baptist to say it because it's the truth. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the work of the Word coming to us and the Holy Spirit of God working. And so we need to take a look at the Word of God, and we need to read it and pray over it as we do read it and consider it. And this is one of those things that's here. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt, that's a side statement, okay? They dwelt in Egypt during that time, was 430 years. We can take this and we can read it. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel was 430 years. Okay? But they did some of that in Egypt. Okay? And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass. Whoa. How can that even be known? Well, the Lord told Moses that it was. And no doubt there was some Hebrew over there ticking off time. They would be. And they were ticking off time to this point. How? The way they did in Ur of the Chaldees? The way the Babylonians kept time? The way the Egyptians kept time? Seasons? Right? Because at this point, the Lord has just said, this is your first month. Remember that? That's where the Passover. The Lord has said, when you take the lamb, it's the 10th day of the first month to you. That's a new accounting of time for them, for the years. And I don't know, well, if you take a look at how the first month of the Jewish calendar compares to the calendar that we use, that we get from the Romans, I believe, work that a fella did early on in the first millennia, I guess, or in the latter part of the first millennia on this side of the Lord. They're starting a new way of counting a year from whatever it was before because the Lord has ordered it that way. But nevertheless, on that day, from this 430 years before, whatever this is, on that selfsame day, they went out. Now, we plan vacations and we plan to take trips and we plan to do this, that, and the other, don't we? And do we always get to carry our plans out just the way that we plan them? Hardly ever. Hardly ever. But the Lord, He determines to do a thing. He can take 3 million of the Israelites and another 3 million, 2 million, 1 million, 6 million, however it was of the Egyptians. And He can work in all that situation and bring them all right down to the day. Because He's God. Because the inhabitants of the earth are in His hand. It came to pass at the end of His 430 years, even the self-same day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Went out. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. And notice it says night. We looked at that Sunday evening about how in the evening, probably around 6 p.m. or so, at the beginning of that Passover day, they killed the lamb. They roasted the lamb. They roasted it with bitter herbs. And the mother got the unleavened cakes made, likely, and in that home. And once they got it roasted, they were pressing on into the night to get the thing ate. And at midnight, the Lord smote the firstborn in Egypt. And so it is. And then as soon as Pharaoh wakes up and he finds out that his firstborn is dead. Maybe it was the nanny that was there with the child. Maybe it was one of the servants that had heard what Moses had said. And Pharaoh went on to bed. He wasn't going to believe it. He wasn't going to take it. But maybe there were others there of the house. We don't know. But there was those that were tending to the child, and they went in, and the child was dead. And they brought word to the father, to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, "Load up and get out of here." And when Pharaoh cleared the way, the people pressed, the Egyptians pressed upon the Israelites to get them out. They went out in that night, in that very night. They're leaving out of Egypt that night from midnight, 1 o'clock, however long it took for them to the child to be dead, for word to be sent to Goshen, and to get Moses and maybe him go back to the palace, or maybe word was just carried. The Pharaoh said, "Get out of here and take it all. And leave us." And as we saw here in verse 32, he says, "And bless me also." And there is no blessing without repentance and obedience to the Lord. It's a night to be much observed under the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And we mentioned that it seems that it's such that they could observe it. A Jew could even observe it now. Because the Lord says, all their generations. A saved Jew could observe the Passover, remembering how the Lord delivered his nation, birthed his nation out of that day. And also realizing it's no sacrament, it's no any special thing in it other than what the Lord has commanded the Jews. Now, for we Gentiles, we look on at this and we just note that it happened. We see the blessing in it. We see the type of Christ in it. But we know that the Lord is our Passover, even being uncircumcision, right? Called by the circumcision and that. But this 430 years, what's it about? Well, it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, 430 years. What is it? Well, some say, I'll present it to you. Some say it's the time that they spent in Egypt. That it's the time that they spent in captivity in Egypt, 430 years. Others say, another position is that it's from the time that the Lord gave the promise to Abraham. Turn over to Genesis chapter 12. Let's take a look at this. Realize all this is connected. It all has significance and it all has a place. And the reason that it's here, the Scripture tells us in our character study of Joab, we read several Scriptures, and in Corinthians it says that these things happen for examples unto us. God keeps His promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, we preached on that it's by those promises of God to you and I, to you and me, that we are partakers of the divine nature of Christ through His promises, through the adding to our faith. Here in Genesis chapter 12, we read in verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." This is part of what in Hebrews, the Lord says that God, because He could swear by no greater, swear by Himself, saying, "Blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee." And He says here, "I'll make thee a great nation, I will bless thee, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And ultimately we know that that's the case from the standpoint of the Savior being provided through the nation that would come, one of the nations, the Lord's nation, Israel, that would come from the loins of Abraham. "And I will bless them that bless thee." And all our nation has been blessed of our taking care about Israel. And our nation's desire towards Israel. I'm afraid that is changing. It is. It's obvious that it is. And it's one piece of many, but look at the plight of our nation now in doing so. And the more we go against God in every way, from the individual to the family to the governments and the churches and those that are without Christ just in the world, the more we go away from righteousness and the way of God, the more we can expect God to go away from us. Go away from us. He said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. I believe we have a leadership today that would sell out Israel in a heartbeat. And likely it'll be part of the end time that it'll be such. And thee shall all families of the earth be blessed in so many ways. So many ways that the Lord has done so. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He believed God, right? Doesn't the scripture say that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness? Yeah, he. God said it. Abram believed it. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Is this the place that it's talking about? Is it talking about from the time that the Lord made a promise to Abraham? Go over here to chapter 15. And let's read this quickly and hear the Lord dealing with Abram. And in verse number 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God says to Abram, Abram, I'm the gift. Me, God. Having to do with you, having touching you, making a promise to you, working it and making it come to pass in you and in your seed. I am thy shield. I will protect you. I will keep you from that which seems impossible that will overcome and take you. The Lord makes us the same promise, doesn't he?
Amen.
Who can separate us from the love of God when he has been pleased to set his love on us? Who is there that can meddle with us? Oh yeah, they can kill the body. But who can touch the salvation that we've been given by the Lord? Who can touch the promises of God? Those things that the scripture says, and we saw Sunday, I believe, that we can't even think of, that we can't even comprehend, that we can't even speak, that God has prepared for us. And the marvel and the miracle and the wonder of how he can work in these lives. And the way he preserves us, provides for us, blesses us, enlightens us, shows us his word. He says, I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. Listen, when the Lord has saved us, when the Lord has saved you, that is the blessing. God is the blessing. God Almighty is the blessing that the likes of me could have to do with him.
Amen.
That's the blessing. All the rest of it is bonus. It's all the rest of it is bonus. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He remembers what God said to him. And at this time, it's approaching that in chapter 16, Abram is around 85, 86 years old. Some time's passing on. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, verse 4, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels and shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Take a look at the stars, Abram. That's how many of your children there's going to be. Can you number them? You won't be able to number your children, Abram. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I've told you, And it is so. The simple, most boiled down, universal thing with God is submission. Submitting to Him. God says it, I say, yep, that's it. God declares it, say, yes, that's it. God instructs me to do it, yes, that's what I want to do. God prevents a thing or prohibits a thing, no, I don't want to go there. Obedience, submission to God. Abram says, how about this fellow I've got in my house? Said, no, he'll not be the heir, but one that comes out of you like I've promised is going to be the heir. And it won't be limited, but it will flourish. Verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. There's inhabitants all over the place there. We're going to see who that is here in a minute. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So Abram asks a question, and it's not a question of doubt. It's a question of, how am I going to know? How are you going to work it? Will you show me? And that is not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing of asking the Lord. That's I encourage you that as we pray, we don't need to pray for the Lord to lead. He's going to lead His people. We need to pray that I'll get it right, that I'll hear it, that I'll know what the direction is, that I'll know what the communication is to follow it. He will not leave His children without guide, without leadership, without direction. He won't do it. He'll give it to us. He's promised it us. We have His Spirit living within. So we just need to be in tune to it. I said, whereby shall I know? Verse 9. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old. He's going to teach Abram a lesson here. And a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. He said, get you this heifer, get you this goat, get you this ram, get you these birds, and prepare them for me. And so Abram did that, and he divided them in the midst. He dressed them, except for the birds. And so these raw animals laying around there, it's going to draw the vultures and stuff, isn't it? It's going to draw those scavenger of the animals. What's Abram do? And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. He drove them away. The Lord said, do this. And he drove them away. And he drove them away. And he drove them away. Till the sun's going down. And he just couldn't keep his eyes open. He just couldn't stay awake. And driving him away and driving him away. And he's out there in that wilderness. And it's a blessing of a land. It's not desert at this time. It's Canaan. But nevertheless, those animals, those scavenger animals are going to be coming around. He drives the birds away. He's driving away, driving away. The sun's going down. He's done what the Lord has told him to do. And for the period of the day that he was there with the... Nothing had happened. Nothing had happened. God told him to do it. But all he did for the balance of that day was drive those birds away and anything that would come at those sacrifices. And when the sun was going down, verse 12, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. He went to sleep. But the Lord began to work on him that he might learn how he's going to know that the Lord's going to do this to him. This horror of great darkness fell upon him beyond being asleep. But he says here, an horror. He was afraid in his sleep. God so touched him and came upon him and made Abram to understand that he was devoid of anything. He was asleep. He couldn't keep the birds or the vultures off of the sacrifices. He couldn't stay awake. And the Lord brought him to where he was devoid. Horror of great darkness. And he said unto Abraham, verse 13, Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In this horror of darkness, in this deep sleep that Abram goes into, guarding this sacrifice that the Lord has told him to prepare, the Lord speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, I'm going to do this. You're not going to do this. I'm going to do this. And know of a surety, Abram, it will come to pass. And he tells him more about how it's going to be. See, Abram is around there with those of his camp and those of his family. He's got Eliezer of Damascus there that's over his house. He's got enough house to have a man over it. And he's running around there and he's sojourning in the land of Canaan, looking for this promise of God and waiting 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Like I said in chapter 16, he's going to be 10 years older than when the Lord called him. Think about going 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years before you heard from God again. We have the privilege to be able to meet with the Lord, have our Bibles, be able to pray to Him, read the Scripture, and hear the account of all this. And sometimes we find it hard to make it a week, don't we? But Abram believed God, and he asked this question, and the Lord says, Abram, I've said I'm going to do it. And I'm going to give you some particulars now, because I'm going to do it. He said, your seed's going to be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, there in Canaan. And they're going to serve them. And he's going to afflict, and they will afflict them 400 years. So here we have another span of time that's given, 400 years, 430 years. It told us over in Exodus, 400 years is telling us here. And it says, they're going to be a stranger in the land. And those inhabitants of that land are going to afflict them. Those that came and stole away Lot, was that not an affliction? Those that were always suspicious of Abraham, was that not an affliction? Though as Abraham, when the Lord changed his name, as he sojourned around, he lived in a tent. He had no place that was his. I mean, it's good to be able to go home, isn't it? Abram had no home. He was called by God to leave his home. Said they're going to be afflicted. And also that nation whom they shall serve, speaking of Egypt, I believe, will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go unto thy fathers in peace. Abram, you don't have to worry about yourself. You're going to have a peaceful life, a blessed life. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. You're going to live long too. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Isn't that interesting that the Lord puts that there? The Amorites living there in Canaan, who Abram knows, he knows them, he knows who they are. God says, Abram, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with your posterity. I'm going to work with your children. And I'm going to deal with the inhabitants of this land. It's all connected together. I'm going to do it. Verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. The Lord is going to take care of it. Abram is going to have what part? Well, he's going to be given instruction by God to be faithful. But this is happening not because Abram sought God, but because God sought to bless Abram. And in doing so, he's blessed you and me, we that the Lord has saved. You see that? This is the time where Abram is finding out. This is, if you will, when the Lord Jesus Christ talked to Peter and says, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I mean, Peter wasn't saved. Yes, he was saved. He had been saved early on in his life, or at the preaching of John the Baptist, and came down and gave forth a testimony of salvation, and John the Baptist baptized him. We know that that's so. But Peter went from a time of doubting to a time of steadfastness and surety in the Lord. God says it, that settles it. I'm doing it, I'm following Him. God speaks, I listen. I'm moving forward for Christ. You see that? This was that time for Abram. This is when the Lord showed him that he was going to do it. The Lord will keep his covenant. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And it came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. God made his covenant. God made his covenant with Abram like he's made his covenant with you and me. He ordained before the foundation of the world that he would give his son for his children. Done deal. Salvation is of the Lord. And then in the course of time, he would bring it to pass. Now, we don't know who the Lord's children are, so we preach to all men, that all would hear, and all would believe, and all would repent. You're here this evening without Jesus Christ, your Savior. The command to you is to repent. The command to you is to obey. The command to you is to believe. Believe what God says, and receive it. And don't try to figure out that which you cannot figure out. Verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Their land, I'm going to displace them. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. So we see here, is this 430 years? Is it from the time that the Lord first appears to Abram? Or is it this time, maybe some 8-10 years later, that the Lord makes this covenant with him? What is it? What is it? In Galatians chapter 3, I believe it makes it clear to us. Let's turn over here. Galatians chapter 3. And this is where it brings us into it, the churches of Galatia, there in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. The apostle writing to them, we pick this up here in verse number 13. Galatians 3, verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That promise that God made to Abraham was to us. In ways that applied to Abraham and to his children that were of his loins. But we, being saved, being of the Gentiles, are, as the Scripture says, his children by faith. Believing God. Trusting in Him that what He says, He will bring to pass. He says here, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, which we are. That Spirit is the earnest, right? It's the earnest of our salvation. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. You promise me something and you covenant to do it. It's to be so, and nobody else is to meddle with it. Because it's your promise to me. My promise to you. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, this is what I'm going to do. It's a done deal. It's a done deal when it happens between no man disannulleth, no man addeth thereto. No man can come in and say, Brother Jim, your covenant to Brother Terry is undone. Well, what have you got to do with it? It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with me and Brother Terry. No man can come in and say, well, that's too much. No, it's between me and Brother Terry. Me and Brother Terry. No man can come in here and says, add to it. It's not enough. It's too little. It's our covenant. Okay? Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made by God. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. The heart of the promise is Jesus Christ. That's the heart of the promise. The redemption, the salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the one that would offer himself once for sinners, for his children, for his people. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The law didn't mess it up. The law just showed that it needed to be so. Our sin is great because the law stands against us and shows us how great our sin is. Oh, but the promise of God is greater. Amen. His Son. His Son that fulfilled the law for the likes of me. His Son that offered His body, His blood for my sins. Taking that law and from the standpoint of salvation it, nailing it to His cross. It stood against me. Amen. I can't make it. I can't keep it. And so He took it and He fulfilled it for me. Because God made the promise that He would save His people. Amen. God made the promise that He would save sinners. Oh, if we could just grab a hold of that and keep it. What a rejoicing that it is. He says, and this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God in Christ, Christ said, God the Father, the way I reckon it and can explain it and the way that I try to understand it in my feeble mind, God said, Son, you need to go. And the Son says, you know, I was thinking the same thing. I'm going. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, this is right. I'll move and I'll work and I'll save. God Almighty working on our behalf before we even had life. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, 430 years after what? God making the promise to Abram. That promise that he made to Abram, he made to us all. Cannot disannul, that should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. A promise. A promise of what? Blessing, I'll bless thee. Multiplying, I will multiply thee. And a promise in all that of what? Deliverance. Deliverance. Is that not what salvation is? Is to be delivered from a thing, from a thing that's got a hold of us, is killing us, is dragging us down to the pit of hell, and rescuing us, delivering us from it. God reaching down and jerking us out of the grasp of sin, death, hell, and the grave, and setting us on the solid rock of His Son. You can't beat a foundation like that, can you? You can't beat it. You cannot beat it. The inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. God made it. God kept it. And if the law then is the law then against the promises of God, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all unto sin, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Will you believe it? That's how sinners are saved. Is by believing. Can you believe it? Will you receive it? Or will you say, some other day, how will it be with you? The Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise might be of by faith of Christ, Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Neither is there Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free, neither is there male or female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A promise made. Back in Exodus. I say, well, Brother Jim, what's it make a lick about 430 years? And what's it make a lick about the self-same day? And why is that even important? Two little verses. What's it matter? It matters to you and me. Because it's God showing His hand and His power that He'll bring it to pass as He has promised specifically right down to your soul. It's not a wholesale volume salvation with the Lord, is it? No, it's not. It's an individual salvation. It's not a family salvation. It's an individual salvation. God visited Abram and made him a promise. And Abram believed him. Abram says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The Lord says, Abram, go do this little job that I give you to do. And then he put him to sleep. And then he talked to him. Abram, this is me. I've promised it. I'm going to bring it to pass. You know, how is it that I know that the Lord's going to take me to be with Him when I die? I got a certificate in the mail. I got an email to prove it. No, actually, I got a team of lawyers to get with the Lord's lawyers to get it all worked out. How do I know it's going to be? Because of the promise.
Amen.
How do you know? And I remember how it was before I was saved. How do you know that it'll really be so? How can you trust it? God's not a man. He says it. He'll do it.
Amen.
He says it. He'll do it. When He speaks it, it's as good as done. How do I know that He'll take me on to be with Him? Because He saved my soul back there in 1987, there on the Cleed Station Road. And He's made me a promise that He'll take care of it. I lay it all and rest it all in Him.
Amen.
Because of what He's promised. How about you? Will you try to quit working it in yourself? Will you try to quit getting it all lined up so you can trust it? Just do as the Scripture says and believe God. Believe God. Receive Christ. He is the one that saved.